Thank you. I couldn't hear a word when she introduced me. We've heard some wonderful stories so far, regional stories, local stories. I'd like to take everybody just a little bit further north to a place called New York. When I was a kid, you've heard of it, I'm very happy. When I was a kid, I lived in New York City, but to me, New York was not a city. New York was a village. My New York consisted of about four or five blocks. I could go anywhere in those blocks, and I could be safe, and I could be secure. I could navigate wherever I wanted to in four or five blocks. That was it. That was my New York, my village. I could go around the corner to the barber shop, and for 10, 15 cents, I could get a haircut. And the barber was very, very worried that I would not have much hair left in my life, because at that time, I know you'll be surprised to hear this, but I was a very, very neurotic child, and I would pull my hair out and eat it. So there wasn't that much to cut. He got his 10 or 15 cents worth of labor. I would also walk around the corner to Moishe's butcher shop, and I would drag my feet through the piles of sawdust on the floor. Finally, get to the counter, and all kinds of body parts of animals would be dangling over me. I would give Moishe, you know, 75 cents, maybe even 100 cents, and purchase that night's meal, bring it back home, make my mother very happy. My cousins, my uncle and aunt, my grandparents lived around the corner. I could go there and be very happy and hang out for a good part of the day. And once, about 4.5, 5 years old, I went around the corner to the neighborhood movie theater, the Surrey. They were playing a movie that just did not belong in the shtetl that I lived in, The Bells of St. Mary's. And I really didn't go there for this Goyesha film. I went there because they were giving out free copies of the Dick Tracy comic book, which I treasured far more than hearing Bing Crosby sing in St. Mary's. And I thought that my village of New York had everything. Until one winter, I realized one vital part of American culture was missing from my life, Christmas. I'd heard of Christmas. It had kind of seeped into my consciousness. There was a new device about that time. Perhaps some of you have heard of it, maybe even enjoyed it. It's called television. And on TV, this little character named Howdy Doody was all excited about Christmas, and I figured anybody named Doody who was touting something I should listen to. And later on in that same season, there was a specially commissioned opera for television, Amal and the Night Visitors, which just floored me. I had no idea where these guys were going, who this little child was, but it was exquisite. But still, there was no Christmas in my life until I woke up one morning and the snow was pouring down from the skies and the flakes were immense, the size of saucers, and my eyes were the size of saucers. I was excited because of the snow. I was excited also because white Christmas reminded me of this other event that I knew was going on elsewhere in this country. And I went running to my father, who was in the living room. Now, my father, you must understand, could either on a given day be very, very grouchy, he was a busy fellow, or he could be a saint. But I knew underneath one of those layers was the other guy. I just didn't know who I was going to encounter at a given moment. I said, "Dad, I really want to see Santa Claus." And I caught him on a grouchy day. Not good. So I hectored him and I badgered him and I pleaded and I implored. And I finally resorted to an all-out temper tantrum. That worked. He said, "Arthur, let's go see Santa." So We put on our flannels. We put on our heavy, heavy boots. We put on our jackets, and I put on my stupid little earmuffs, and he put on his fedora with a little bit of a feather, and we trudge through the snow to the nearest subway station. It was the second time I'd have ever traveled on the subway with my father. The first time was maybe 5 or 6 months before. We had taken our canary to the Lower East Side to visit the canary vet. And there we are, my father and I sitting side by side on the D train. And the canary is in a cage on my father's lap. He's under a blanket so he wouldn't catch a draft. The worst thing you want is a canary who sneezes. So, and everybody on the train was wondering, what's under that blanket? And to them, this was a mystery. This day, though, the trip was a mystery to me. Where were we going? Who really was this Santa fellow? What would happen? Well, after about 30, 40 minutes of traveling south on the subway, my father and I got off. We went to the street, and there before me was Saks Fifth Avenue. Glorious Saks Fifth Avenue, a palace in my eyes. We walked inside, and there were hundreds, perhaps thousands of kids, and of course parents, and the kids were being dragged along by their parents, or the parents were dragging the kids one way or another. They were all heading off the rear of the store, and there was Santa. I got in line. People at Saks were very smart. They knew that kids often misbehave online, so they had little dollhouses, and you could pick up a telephone, and through some kind of early stupid technology, you could see a little midget Santa inside, and you could talk to him on the telephone. He would go, ho, 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 you would go, blah, blah, blah. And that's the way you killed time, and you kept kids behaved and quiet and shut up. I finally got to the head of the line. Santa urged me forward. I sat on his lap, this big, bloated fellow. I'd never seen anything like this. And this rather large face leaned down quite close to mine and asked what I wanted for Christmas. And I didn't know this was part of the game. I didn't know I'd get something. So I thought for a moment, and I said, Santa, I'd really like a new dreidel. Now, Santa was quite made up for his gig, but I saw him redden even underneath his red makeup. And he didn't quite know what to say. He kind of shooed me away, and he was eager for the next kid, who I'm sure would not mix religious metaphors. On the subway ride home, my father held my hand very tightly. Not a word was exchanged. To this day, I have no idea what he thought of this venture down to Saks to see this guy named Santa. But what I can tell you is about two nights later came the first night of Hanukkah. And I looked outside, and once again it was snowing. Once again the flakes were as large as saucers. Once again my eyes were as big as saucers. We lit the first candle, and with the glow from that light, with the beauty from outside, with these flakes falling down and coating grim, grungy New York City, and with the warmth that filled my home, I realized I didn't need a trip to Saks to ask Santa for anything. Everything we needed, we already had. Thank you.